You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
Gay employees for UPS in New Jersey will be able to enjoy the benefits of health insurance previously only afforded to employees in straight relationships. The company had previously denied the benefits to gay workers, until Governor John Corzine sent a letter to the company requesting a change in position. Domestic partner benefits are already offered to management and administrative employees in the company. During the next contract negotiations with the Teamsters in 2008, the company plans to extend those benefits to all employees in the company. Southern California grocery workers averted a strike after they voted in favor of a new contract 2 weeks ago, but critics say that the agreement provides some improvements to the last pact, but puts the workers at a disadvantage as well. Leilani Albano has more on the story.
The fact that there was an improvement at all is a testament to the strength of the strike that happened 3 years ago.
That was Muffy Sunday, a member of the Communication Workers of America Union, an organizer with the Freedom Socialist Party. But in spite of the changes, she says the contract does little to get workers out of poverty.
I don't know how anyone can call this contract a huge achievement. It is a minor improvement over the last contract, but the last contract was a disaster.
Wage scales remain at a virtual standstill. Many bottom-rung employees, who earn barely above the minimum wage, are set to receive less than $1 in pay raises during the contract's 4-year span. Meanwhile, top-earning workers will also get small jumps in pay. And while the contract shortens the wait time, workers will be eligible for health care. The plan's premium of $28 to $60 per month may still be too expensive for the supermarket's largely part-time staff, says Sunday.
You are now eligible for a health care plan that you can't afford anyway.
In the end, she says the bosses got a better deal. Not only does the agreement keep wages and benefits down in Southern California, but will make it more difficult for grocery workers currently in labor talks.
Nike will pay $7.6 million to settle a discrimination suit in Chicago. The suit was brought by African-American employees at Nike Town in Chicago that alleged the company systematically discriminated against African-American employees in hiring, promotions, benefits, and discipline practices. The suit was filed in 2003, and a federal judge gave the suit class action status, opening it up to 400 other current and former Nike Town employees. The company admitted no wrongdoing by agreeing to pay the settlement. IBM is the most recent company to announce layoffs. The corporation announced Monday that it will be cutting 450 employees in the Systems and Technologies Group. 300 of those jobs come from one plant in East Fishkill, New York. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 25 of Strictly Confidential. I'm your host, Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. And speaking of days, what a day it was. It started with a power failure around 6:30 while I was in the shower with soap in my ears. It got kind of dark in there before the sun came up. Managed to make it out of here, and when I got back, there was another tree down. Yes, I'm going to have another adventure with brother-in-law in the John Deere tractor, dragging another tree out of the lawn. North Florida has been rough. We have had some nasty storms pass through here, and I'm so glad that the hurricanes haven't come at this point in time, because this old house will probably end up next door to Bob and Agnes up in West Virginia should come along. The site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you'll find links to all of the guests, as well as to our chat room and the Head On Radio Network main site. There you can find out about all of the progressive programming on the horn. There are links to the audio archives, by the way, in case you've missed one of our amazing guests. And we truly have had some wonderful folks on this network recently. If you happen to have missed, for instance, the Reverend Elder Nancy Wilson, if you'll check the calendar on the Strictly Confidential Radio .com site, you'll find a link to the audio archive, or Jimmy Creech from Faith in America, or Jody Huckabee from PFLAG. We've just had an amazing collection of folks that wanted to talk to us, and our audience has been thrilled to hear them, and this is great news. And tonight is no exception to that. Tonight we have with us, in fact, we have him, yes, we're connected to him now. We have Kevin Beckner this evening. Kevin is running for the Hillsborough County Commission, District 6. Kevin graduated from Indiana University with a BA in criminal justice and minors in business and psychology. He's a certified financial planner and a chartered financial consultant, chartered underwriter. He attended the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy in 1990 and worked as a police officer from 1990 through 1993 while attending Indiana University. He's the president of Leadership Tampa Bay, a member of the Ybor City Chamber of Commerce, member of the Tampa Hillsborough County Human Rights Council. He's on the board of directors of Tampa Metropolitan Community Church, and as you all know, I have a very warm spot in my heart for MCC. He's on the board of directors of Francis House, the Tampa Bay Business Guild. He's a member Equality Florida. He's a part of the Florida Council, the Human Rights Campaign. He's in the federal club. And this man is only 35 years old. Kevin was born February 71, which just happens to be the year that I graduated from high school. And one of the reasons I'm having Kevin on the show is, you know, we often ask, what can we do to help in this struggle, the misinformation that's put out about us every day? What can we do? The answer that always comes back to us is start at the grassroots, organize at the grassroots level. Kevin is someone who is doing that, and I'm awfully proud to have him with us. Kevin, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Well, thank you very much for having me on here tonight, Peter. It's my pleasure.
Well, I'm so glad you're able to join us. Kevin, there's one statement that you've made on the website that really got my attention. It's primarily one of the main reasons that I got in touch with you a few weeks ago, and it's something I completely agree with, and it's something that we do here on this show. We have a large number of straight listeners, progressive straight listeners, who are sympathetic to our causes and our struggles, as well as a large number of GLBT folks. Your statement on the site is, we need to start unifying with the straight community so that others understand who we are. Amen, brother. I completely agree with that, because by and large they have no idea who we are. So to begin, Kevin, let's talk about your campaign for Hillsborough County Commission District 6.
Well, Peter, I started this, and actually the groundwork was being laid a couple of years ago, and I've got involved with politics about 3 years ago, when I really started seeing across the country this wave of regressive conservatism that was starting to take hold, not only in our country, but our local community. And as you alluded to earlier, that, you know, so much of this starts at the local grassroots level. I think, you know, from the watchdog groups, we've started, you know, we always kept the eyes on the presidency, we kept the eyes on Congress, but we were not watchful of who we were electing to local offices. And so as I started seeing over the last several years how our governments have started to get more regressive, I just started thinking to myself, I said, you know, how could we be electing a more conservative government when it seems like this country has been so progressive? And as we found out, I have found through my research that a good majority of the people really do support diversity in our cultures and communities. But it's the smaller percentage of the conservative right that has more power, that's louder than we are, and so we just need to start organizing at the grassroots. And as many of your listeners may be well aware, 2 years ago in Hillsborough County, there was a county commissioner by the name of Rhonda Storms who, in one fell swoop, decided to go ahead and pass a ban on all gay pride events and banned the participation of from any parts of the county in gay pride. And she did that over a book display that a student had done on gay authors for Gay Pride Month. And so, of course, that caused a whole firestorm here in this county. And I think that was probably, for me, Peter, the tipping point when I said, you know what, I can do one or two things. I can continue to complain and hope that we start to change, or I can take an active role and start making progressive change happen in the community. And the best way to do that is actually get involved in politics. And so I started getting heavily involved in HRC and the Equality Florida and the Chamber of Commerce is here. And as you mentioned, then I became involved with Leadership Tampa Bay and ultimately formed a election advisory committee to help educate people on who they're electing at local and the local offices. And finally came to the decision, you know, if I really want to have the ultimate influence, I need to run for public office myself. So this past January, we launched our campaign for Hillsborough County Commission.
Well, I think that is absolutely wonderful. What we are finding here is that many times people like the woman you mentioned who pretty much single-handedly banned the participation in gay pride events, many times those people are very heavily funded deep pocket right-wing organizations. For instance, we have traced back this mayor of Fort Lauderdale issue. We've talked about that several nights and played some audio from down that way. He can be traced financially to the what we refer to here as All Snake Ministries, or the Carl Ridge Ministry down in that area, which is one of the huge anti-gay, anti-progressive mega churches. So many times these people present themselves less. In other words, you don't always see where the purse strings reach.
Correct. And, you know, we found, and that's why, you know what, as we start putting together this campaign, why it's so important that we get together, we pull our resources together, that we start organizing here locally and do what much of the conservative right has done. And as you may also be aware, down in Broward County, last year they actually elected their first openly gay county commissioner, and Commissioner Ken Kuechel. And we've learned by having somebody that's an active voice for the community, it's made a real difference, especially in the incident that they had at the Fort Lauderdale airport not too long ago, where I'm not sure if you had discussed that with your listeners, but there happened to be bigoted comments that were made to two gay travelers that were going through the Fort Lauderdale airport. And in essence, there was an announcement over the loudspeaker that said, you know, all homosexuals should die. And they, in essence, quoted a Bible verse. And you know, they reported that to the airport authorities. They didn't do anything. They reported the sheriff's office. They didn't do anything. When they went to talk with their county commissioner, Ken Kuechel, he's the one that actually initiated the investigation, and they ended up finding the people responsible for that. And although no criminal charges came out of it, at least there was some vindication. So it's really important that we really start, again, on the local grassroots level, that we can start getting some representation inside government.
I completely agree. And yes, that particular story was talked about on this network. It actually happened prior to this show beginning. So it wasn't actually discussed in the show. It didn't exist at the time. But many of the hosts, it's the network is progressive as a whole. There are different focuses. For instance, we have a fellow during the day who comes from Australia who focuses on environmental issues. We have a Washington, D.C. fellow. We have so many different focuses, but we're all progressive. So I'm pleased to hear that Ken Kuechel won down there. I wasn't aware of it. I met Ken here in Tallahassee at a GLBT Democratic caucus, and he really impressed me as someone who is very committed, and I had no idea he won. That is wonderful news. And so he was behind the airport incident, eh?
Yes, absolutely. And look, what's just so amazing about his particular race and what's happening, actually a lot of people don't realize over the all over the country, is that there are people that who are open and honest about who they love or are winning their elections. And a lot of times people have asked me the question, well, how could you ever expect to win in a conservative place like Hillsborough County? And as we've done the research and we've shown that, you know, just this last election cycle alone, there were 67 people that were elected nationwide, everywhere from Arkansas to Alabama to Indiana. Patricia Todd was just elected into the Alabama State House, and Jim Roth was reelected to the county commission. And all these people, you know, essentially just focused on the issues of the community and despite who they loved and who they shared their life with, the people overwhelmingly elected them into the office. And really the winning strategy that they're using is they're really just focusing on the issues of the community. I think America and also our communities are getting tired of these social wedge issues that are dividing communities, and they're really looking for leaders who are going to address the real needs of the community. And that's what we're focusing on here in Hillsborough County.
Well, that's and I'm so pleased to hear that. But we do know that the right has a very large megaphone. Typically, the media pays more attention to them. They're so wired into AM talk radio. There's hundreds and hundreds of hours per week of literal right-wing propaganda going on those channels. And how are you holding up so far? Let me ask you that. Are you being I know you're some. They're trying to get at you by saying that you tried to clean a pond or something ridiculous. Gone at you over the gay issue yet? Or how are you holding up in your struggle against them? I know you're being attacked. That's what they do for a living.
Well, actually, right now we have no. There's been no. We've received no attacks as far as that we have heard or are aware of. I've been into the conservative parts of the community. I've been to many parts of the community. And, you know, I talk very open and honestly, but again, who I love and who I share my life with is the focus of my campaign. My opponent, obviously, he has attacked the GLBT community. He voted with Rhonda Storms to ban the gay pride. He's attacked the Muslim community. He's attacked the African-American community. Now he's attacking the environment. He's the one you probably were at read about as far as the issues with being involved with trying to direct funds to clean up his own public lake. And so
yes, there was something about that. A former pro wrestler, I might add. This makes it even compounds how ridiculous that whole thing is. Give me a break. What was it, WWC?
I believe WWF, if I'm not mistaken.
I see.
And wrestler and and again, he's not, even within his own party, he's not well regarded. He's attacked a lot. He's attacked the supervisor of elections, and it's not been a great political time for him.
I see. So then, what I'm hearing from you then is that people are listening to your what you're really focusing on, which you have a lot of environmental. And, you know, Florida really is in trouble environmentally. As far as I can tell, Jeb Bush left it in chaos. And as some of our listeners who are in other states are not aware of the fact, maybe in the back of your mind you are, but Florida is very much a low-lying area. We're not that far. So quite a lot of Florida is wetland, and all of this is valuable property, and especially in South Florida, the entire state's being made into a strip mall. So, of course, to get around environmental protection laws is kind of a big deal among the moneyed people, and you're struggling against that. Do I have that right?
Yes, and that's the one thing we've been focusing on this county. Most recent, the county commission had voted by a vote of 4-3 to get rid of the Wetlands Protection Division of the Hillsborough County local EPC. And the Wetlands Division here has stricter standards than it does and the state, and also from a federal level. So it provides a lot of different protections here on the local level and gives the local environmentalists here more control of those issues. And so, yes, they're struggling with developers here because developers would like to see that go away because it would speed up the permitting process. And I have to add that it's not all developers that are attacking the environment. There are a few that have special interests here, and that are really, again, that are leading the attack to try to get rid of the Wetlands Division here, the EPC. But that has really brought the community in an uproar, and they're expected to do a final vote in August. And when they took the initial vote, they didn't even give Dr. Garrity, who heads the EPC, an opportunity to present the case of how we could streamline the permitting process and at the same point in time keep the local Wetlands Division and the protections in place. So there's some special interests that have been involved in that that have affected the commission's decision. And so the last couple of weeks have been pretty turbulent here as far as the environmental community.
I see. Well, Hillsborough County, is there a large elderly population there? I know in Florida, of course, aging is a growth industry. But Hillsborough County in particular, because so often these phone banks will target, you know, for the left-wing folks will target the elderly community with a whole bunch of hate speech regarding the GLBT community and children and whatever they can think of to throw in there. How are you faring with the older community down there, and are there a lot of them?
Down in the southern parts of the county, around the Sun City Center, there's quite a few. And actually, I have a large support base down in that area. So again, well, I have not personally heard of any attacks that were being made against me. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're not going underground. But for the most part, we've gained actually bipartisan support, not just with the Democrats, but also the Republicans, and we've also had quite a few independents, and even some Green Party people that have joined our campaign. Like I said, Peter, people are just really tired of these wedge issues that have been dividing communities for so long. They're really looking for and they're ready for visionary leadership and somebody to step up the plate that will really get back to the basics of government. And that's what our whole campaign is focused on. It's about reconnecting the priorities of government with the people. And so that's what we're going to stay focused on within this campaign.
Well, Kevin, this is wonderful to hear. I have to tell you, living in North Florida, as you probably already realize, North Florida is just an extension of South Georgia, including the foothills, the politics, and the population. We don't really have anyone running as an openly gay candidate for anything around here. To hear that people are actually listening to your issues and are getting, because we're constantly here, the news that we report is, we bulletins from Focus on the Family, the American Family Association, all of the things that go on. Sometimes we get, in what I do, we get a little bit overwhelmed by all of the bad news, and we don't hear folks saying that we're being actually listened to as individuals and what our real goals are very often. This is interesting. Do you see that in your area? How are things for gay folks down there? Are things getting a lot better for you? It's got to be different.
You know, I see progression, Peter. I really think a lot of it has to do with our inside of our own community. And, you know, when I started this campaign, because of how actively I was involved with the community, I didn't have too much of an option but to run as somebody who was open and honest about who they love and who they share their life with. And the reason why I say that is part of it for myself is I really believe in being open and honest with my constituents. If I can't be honest about who I am, and you know, what else can they expect me not to be honest about? So I always started with the premise that I would be open and honest with my constituents. And people, I think, really have appreciated that, Peter. You know, I've gone into some really conservative areas, and they know who I am and then who I love and who I share my life with. But again, once we get past that point, that might last 2 seconds, and we might even have a little bit further conversation. I really find that people, when I share that with them, they're interested in knowing more about who I share my life with and who I am. But really, again, Peter, it boils down to people are more concerned now, and we're starting to see a more focus on, again, the issues that affect everybody in this community. And that's why we've been so successful so far in our campaign.
Kevin, we have a chat room that I monitor during the show, and often folks in the chat room will ask a question that they would like me to ask the guest. There's a question that's popped up in the chat room asking if you've had any personal safety issues during your campaign.
No, as of this time, none. We've had no threats, no emails, nothing. And I really think a lot of it has to do is because, you know, I'm pretty much, you know, this isn't a focus for me inside the campaign. And I'm focusing on the issues, and I've got this out of the way at the beginning. Will my opponent focus on this later? Probably so. He'll probably do personal attacks, but we're well armed and we're ready for those as well. But like I said, as far at this point, we've had no personal safety issues.
Well, the issues that you're focusing on have to do with environment and transportation, which are both huge issues. I understand our county is going to be adding, what, another 500,000 people over the next 20 years or so? Does that sound about right? How are you addressing those
issues?
We're
due by the year 2025. Our population should be somewhere about the size of Atlanta, and so we're going to be probably around the 1.5 to 1.6 million people. And it's been a major concern for people here. The transportation is starting to become a larger issue because, again, for so long, that particular need has been neglected. That you could see just by the amount of people that sit in traffic on a daily basis, there's just absolutely no way that we can continue to grow and prosper without offering some type of alternative mode of transportation. We have to fix the traffic crisis here. That's been one of the largest issues that we've talked about with the constituents.
Well, Kevin, tell us about this petition versus paying a huge sum of money to have you on the ballot. How are you doing on the signatures from? I understand you have to actually live in Hillsborough County to sign that. How is that going? And
that's
tell us about that.
Extraordinarily well, Peter. We need a total of 6,334 signatures to get on the ballot, and right now we've got we're going on about 1,500 signatures, and we just really started a couple months ago our heavy walking campaign. That's the option one. The other option would be to pay a fee of about $5,700 to get on the ballot. So you have two different options.
They seem so unrelated. That's Florida politics for you. You either have a wad of cash or the people can support you. So it's either money or the support of the people is what it pretty much comes down to. Is that about sum it up?
That's it. And, you know, it's interesting because as I talk with some other people around the country, they don't have the option of paying the fee. You either got to get the signatures or you don't run. So we have a little bit of a unique system here. They give you an option. You know, you can either cough up the cash or you better get out walking and collect the signatures.
We've been posting your website in the chat room, but for those listeners who are not in the chat room, Kevin's site is kevinbeckner.com. That's K-E-V-I-N, Beckner, B-E-C-K-N-E-R.com. I encourage you to stop by there. If you have some extra cash, you can donate as a campaign. I believe there is a PayPal button there, and I encourage you to do that no matter what state you're from, because as I've said earlier in the program, and anyone who's in the movement will tell you this, it's the grassroots people who are going to get this thing done. So even though Kevin isn't running as a commissioner in your state, I will be, let me just say this. As time goes by, I'll be having people who are running at the local level from all over this country. And I encourage each and every one of us as we can to support candidates across the country, because this is so important. And apparently, Kevin, it is fitting in real well down there. I'm just so surprised to hear you seem very optimistic and confident that things are going well. I just find this amazing and a little bit surprised. I always expect such evil monsters to come out of the closet.
You know, it's always, we're going to probably have those few heads that will show up, Peter. But again, the most part, the people that I have been with, again, they're really just, they want somebody who's going to take a leadership role and really, again, restore the government the way it was meant to be. But over the last several years, our commission and even some of the other local governments have been taken over by special interest groups. We've gotten away from the priorities of good government and about what government's supposed to be all about. So people are finding out, Peter, that focusing on these wedge issues that have divided communities for too long, it's not really improving the lives of anybody in the community. You know, property taxes in this area are going through the roof. You know, we have transportation issues. So really, you know, people, again, want somebody that's going to focus on the issues that will improve the quality of life for all people. And I want to kind of tail back to what you were talking about, supporting people at the local level, because I really appreciate that. What people really need to understand, and I'll take the example of our past Commissioner Rhonda Storm, people need to understand that the conservative right has been focusing on these local offices, and they know that by winning these offices, this is how they work their way up the chain. As I mentioned before, you know, the watchdog groups have been so focused on the presidency and Congress that we've gotten away from the local offices. And this is where the local offices are the where are the offices that can affect your lives the most. And it's funny because 2 years ago, you know, when our county commission passed the ban that I spoke about, I had friends down in the South Miami area. They're saying, "Well, I'm so glad that Commissioner Storms isn't in charge of us and isn't in our district." Well, guess what? Commissioner Storm was just elected to the Florida State Senate. And so now her focus
yes.
has been on the whole family issue, and she is totally against gays having any type of adoption or fostering rights here. So she is looking to do away with the fostering program. And so guess what? Now what started as a local race and as a local public office holder is now could affect everybody in the state of Florida. And if she were to move on to Congress, God forbid, you know, she could affect everybody across the country. So that's why it's important that people get involved in local races, not in just their area, but any area where there's a progressive leader that's really ready to step up the plate and to try to make progressive change.
Well, Kevin, you're absolutely right. And these cycles of moving up from local to state to even federal happen actually much quicker than people imagine. These cycles can take place in 6 to 10 years, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm sorry, you dropped off in that last part.
I was saying that these cycles of moving from a local area to a state to federal transition can take place fairly quickly in as little as 6 to 10 years.
Absolutely, and that was the case with now Senator Storm. You know, she moved up very quickly through the ranks. And like I said, it's just amazing that how people can start at the local level and how they can have so much influence later on and affect the lives of people outside of their community.
Well, Kevin, I've asked you a number of questions. I want to just give you the opportunity to say whatever you'd like to say. There are no doubt things on your mind that you want to get across that I have no idea that need to be asked. If you'd like to take some time to talk about your campaign in general or anything, any details you want to just go for it.
Sure. A good portion of my, as far as the issues, I mean, I could spend hours talking about the issues in our community. A good portion of that, of course, is spelled out on my website at www.kevinbechner.com. And our main issues that we're focusing here in our community, number one is smart growth. And that has to do with affordable living and then also balancing the environment with development. And then we're also focusing on environmental issues here as well. And then also going into a large part that, of course, would affect the GLBT community and everyone, actually, is the issue of appreciating and respecting diversity and culture in a community. And as far as that is concerned, when you really think about it, Peter, if you really want to experience economic growth in a community and you take a look at who's providing some of the larger portions of the economic growth, for instance, the Fortune 500 companies, they're looking to relocate to communities that offer a diverse culture and respect different cultures. And Hillsborough County does not have that. Hillsborough County has a black eye across the whole entire country from their behaviors that have occurred in the past in recent years. And so one of our focuses on is, again, is just to make sure that all cultures here are respected. And I think that's key for future economic growth, because that doesn't impact just one particular culture, but impacts an entire community. So those are the major issues that we've been focusing on within the campaign. But again, I just can't stress enough the importance that we can no longer sit on the sidelines and just hope for change. If we want to see change, we have to make it come to fruition. And you do that by getting involved. So I just encourage everybody out there to get involved on the local level, support your local candidates and other people running across the country, support their campaigns, and really, again, do your part to make a difference. Become educated on who's running for the local offices. And make sure you know when you go to that ballot box who you're voting for, because you don't know how they could possibly impact your life in the future.
Very interesting. And, Kevin, we've actually done some stories here very recently regarding economic development in any given area and the correlation to the GLBT community and having either civil rights in the terms of what civil unions or marriage or adoption privileges. In other words, it's demonstrable that communities that are more open in those areas do better financially, because those communities tend to attract more arts, more people who are involved in music. It makes it a better place to live. People who are in, who are better educated tend to move to those areas because of that. Therefore, business who needs smart, qualified people tends to follow them. There's a whole hand in glove thing about progressive communities that has a lot to do with support of GLBT folks.
Absolutely. In fact, Richard Florida put out an interesting article, and he's called The Creative Class, and I would encourage anybody to Google that online and take a look at that, because it explains the importance of, again, cultural diversity and how that can impact the economy of a community. And as I mentioned before, when companies are looking to relocate and they're going to be taking their creative force with them, they want to move into a community that is inclusive and respectful of all people. And if you really want to experience true economic growth, you've got to open up culturally. It doesn't mean that you necessarily have to totally understand a particular culture, but the important thing, Peter, is that you just have respect for everyone.
I understand. I'm wondering too, Kevin. This is prompted by a question from the chat room. Regarding national support, is there some sort of a networking thing that among people who are running at the local level on a national basis that folks can share information, people who are actually candidates? Does any infrastructure like that exist, or is everybody kind of on their own in the local area?
No, there's a organization called the Victory Fund, and people can check them out at victoryfund.org, and they actually... they offer candidate training. They offer mechanisms of support where people can actually also, once you get on their list, they will let you know of different candidates that are running in different areas. And it's a pretty extensive endorsement process to go through. But they have actually been very instrumental and great people to work with so far. We're going through the endorsement process ourselves now for the campaign. And so I would.
And that's Victory Fund?
Yeah, Victory
Fund.
That's
Victory Fund, you said?
Yes.
Interesting. I was not aware of it. It sounds like a group I would like to have on this show.
Chuck Wolf is the CEO, and he would probably be more than happy to talk about his organization.
Wonderful. He could probably put us in touch, too, with folks like yourself all over this country. I think that's something that needs to get out. How many folks are... Because there are a lot of us. There was a woman who was running for, I believe, the State House over in Pensacola, a few years ago. I don't know if she made it or not. I don't think she did. There were just a number of us. This was at the GLBT caucus in Tallahassee a couple of years ago. It was surprising how many GLBT folks are running for offices in their area, and you just don't know anything about it outside of that specific area.
Yes, and there's a lot of people. In fact, a lot of people, they kind of get a very quizzical look on their face, because they think that, because I'm being open and honest about who I love, and running in this race, that this is the first time it's been done. What people need to know is that there are people like men and women just like me that have already been elected to office, but perhaps have not chosen to disclose their personal life, and I think that's their own priority. But this is certainly nothing new. I'm just willing to talk about it, and like I said, it's not the focus of the campaign. We're focused on the issues of the community. But again, I really think I believe in an open door, open honest policy for my constituents. So, but this is certainly nothing new. There's some people that have been elected to very, very, very high offices in the state and across the country that happen to be gay or lesbian, and that's part of their personal life, and people just don't know about it. So, a gay or lesbian holding office certainly isn't something new.
Well, Kevin, does your district cover Ybor City?
My district? Oh, that's a great question. My district covers the whole entire county, so I'm running countywide. So anybody in Hillsborough County can vote for me, including people inside the city. is inside the city of Tampa and Ybor.
Very good. It's been a number of years since I've been down that way, but years ago, Ybor City was nothing but a huge number of abandoned cigar factories, and now I understand it's turned into quite a trendy place, lots of clubs and restaurants. Is that what's going on in Ybor City?
They're really going through a revitalization process, Peter. They're really they're starting to build a lot of residential housing there. There's some condos, small condos and townhomes that are going up in that area. So Ybor is going through a good transitional period. You know, there's still some bumps that they're going through in the road, but, they're really starting, it's really starting to make a comeback now.
I see. How is Hillsborough, now Hillsborough, this is, may seem like a silly question, but it's just I'm not from the area. Hillsborough County, you know, Tampa, St. Pete is a huge sort of side-by-side, next-door metropolitan area. Is Hillsborough County just one or the other, or does it actually include Tampa and St. Petersburg?
It does not include St. Petersburg. It does include Tampa. St. Petersburg is part of Pinellas County. But Hillsborough stretches, it's a huge county, and it's one of the largest ones in the state. It's not the largest, but it's one of the largest ones in the state, it's an awful big county.
I see. And how is the Tampa area in terms of attracting gay tourist dollars? We've heard an awful lot about that from Fort Lauderdale lately over this mayor thing about scaring off the gay tourism. And they created, about $1 million a year in income from that community. Is the Tampa area also a magnet for the GLBT community?
Vacation dollars, I don't know. I don't know those statistics, Peter. I know the community in Pinellas County has been working with the Visitors Bureau to attract the GLBT dollars. And in fact, it's interesting because over the years, Hillsborough used to be more Democratic than Pinellas years ago, and now it's flipping, where Pinellas is more Democratic and Hillsborough is more Republican. Although there are more Democrats that are registered in Hillsborough County than Republicans, political landscape is just kind of, it's a little bit odd. But we're starting to see a more balance that's coming to Hillsborough. So it's starting to go a little bit more on the moderate side. Although I guess it would depend on what pocket of the county that you live in. But we're starting to see, again, people that are after the last several years, they're turning more moderate. And then, like I said, within our own campaign, we're getting a large bipartisan support from both Democrats, Republicans, and like I said, a lot of people that don't have any party affiliation. And as I invited everybody to the table, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, I believe in inviting everybody to the table. I think everybody has great ideas. They all have potential solutions to the issues this community faces. So my invitation is for everybody to come to the table, and we'll start off by agreeing that we can disagree, but let's all work together and see if we can't come up with the solutions to the issues that are facing this county.
I came across something that surprised me a couple of weeks ago. I didn't read it out on the air, but it really caught my attention. It was a list of the top 10 gay-friendly cities in the U.S. I'm not sure who compiled the list or how accurate it was. Of course, Portland, Oregon was on it. Seattle, Washington was on it. And San Francisco was on it, et cetera, et cetera, although the likely suspects. But I was interested to see that Tampa St. Pete was listed among the top 10. So you must have a pretty vibrant gay community down there, GLBT folks.
I would say that we have a pretty active community. And again, it really depends. This seems to go in waves. Over the last few years, especially, we have gotten together with Pinellas County. And for instance, now we have a combined Summer Pride. And after what the commission did 2 years ago, they started a Winter Pride. So we just had the second Winter Pride here. And that drew about 15,000. Now the St. Pete Pride actually is considered, which I was surprised by, one of the largest in the state, and has drawn 60,000 to 70,000 were the reported number of attendees this year. And so that has grown to be a very large Pride event. So I think the community is really starting to grow quite a bit here. Again, I don't know all the statistics from about the GLBT travel here.
That's amazing. I was so shocked to hear that. I was glad when we had someone from that area to be on the show, because that's something I wanted to find out about it. I thought, wow, top 10 Florida, you've got to be kidding me. I can't believe this. But nonetheless,
I have to tell you, I'm so surprised to hear that. But like I said, I don't know. I don't know all the other areas that they're judging on. I do know. I did read an interesting article in Forbes magazine, and actually, when they're talking about one of the most popular cities for recent college graduates, progressive college graduates and professionals to go, the Tampa Bay community is actually almost at the very last in the list. And part of the reason that they stated was it has to do with cultural diversity. And so that was interesting to find out. New York, Atlanta, and Boston are on the top of the list. So again, it really points to the importance of having cultural diversity and how important culture and diversity plays in the community and economics. And like I said, we have to become more inclusive and not exclusive if we really want to grow economically in the future.
Well, Kevin, I must say I am impressed with you, sir. It's obvious to me and to our listeners that this is coming from the heart. This is not at all superficial, and it's also quite clear to me and the listeners that you really are about the issues that you're talking about. This whole thing about your private life, your relationship, it's all out there. It's not that it's being hidden, but it seems to be really secondary to what your job is, which I'm just very impressed with you. I think that you would be a wonderful for Hillsborough County. When is the election, Kevin?
The election is in November of 2008. So it's a little over a year away, but as I tell people, you know, so many people, they say, oh, you know, it's over a year away, we've got lots of time. Well, no, now is the time. It takes a lot of resources to run a campaign to get an effective message out. It's building a strong volunteer base. I mean, right now we have over 300 committed volunteers to this campaign, and it's growing every day. And so, I mean, it takes a lot to run a campaign. I kid with people because the easiest thing, Peter, is to run for office. The hardest thing is to win. I mean, it's so easy. All you have to do, I mean, there's one paper to fill out to become a candidate. But to go beyond that, to be an effective candidate, and again, to communicate your message, it's a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of resources, both financial and human resources, to make it happen. So that's why we started so early, and now we've got a large area and a large county to cover.
There's one thing I want to make very clear to you. You are welcome to use this show, Strictly Confidential, in any way you wish. It's not necessary for you to have a set interview time. All you have to do is phone and dial that toll-free number at any time during one of the Strictly Confidential shows, and I'll put you right on. If there are any updates or news you'd like to share, I would like to think that you could consider us a partner, if you will, in what you're trying to do.
Well, I really appreciate that, Peter. As I mentioned before, you know, this just isn't about Hillsborough. This is about bringing progressive change to other local communities and again across the country. And this whole campaign is about bringing people together, bringing again getting back to the basics of government. And so, like I said, this is where people are starting to see that this really is not just about Hillsborough. This is about bringing change all across the other communities and across the country. And that's what we're going to aim to do.
I completely understand it. I honestly believe that is exactly the case. There's one question I should ask from the chat room. I'm wondering about the income levels, and I'm wondering if there are a lot of professionals in Hillsborough County. How does that rate rank statewide? Do you have any idea regarding income levels / professional community?
I don't know those statistics, Peter. I know the median income level here is roughly about $42,000, But again, compared to all across the other country, I'm not exactly sure of how that ranks.
It is a difficult question. That's sort of a huge question. Maybe next time, when we hear from you again, you'll know that answer, I have no doubt.
Well, it's amazing. I always get questions that, and that's what I really love about talking to people when I'm out on the road and we're doing different events and things like that. It's my favorite portion, is to get to the question and answer, because it never fails that I go somewhere and there's always a question that I hadn't heard before, and gives me an opportunity to research the answers.
Absolutely. Well, our chat room has got some of the most interesting people on the planet. You never know what they're going to ask, or just amazing people. Some of the brightest and the smartest people in the country hang out in the Head On Radio Network chat room, which is available off of strictlyconfidentialradio.com. And Kevin, I also want to point out too that folks who are looking for your site, it's available in two ways. It's available by going to strictlyconfidentialradio.com and just look up this date on the calendar for Kevin Beckner. You'll see a link to his main site, or you can go to Kevin Beckner. com. And appreciate very much your being on. And unless if there's something you'd like to say in summary, I've already given you my invitation to phone back any time, and that's genuine. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing that you'd like to get across to the people who?
I'll just reiterate again, Peter, is that it's just so important for everybody to just get off the sidelines. If you really want to see progressive change come to your community, get actively involved in the local politics, get actively involved in your progressive organization. That's the most important thing. That's how and why I got into this, because no longer felt that I could stay in the sidelines. If I wanted to see change, I had to make it happen. And that's what I just encourage everybody to do. And again, so we can get caught up in the hooray and the hoopla of the presidential races and the congressional races. Those are always fun to get involved in. But really, working on your local campaigns, if you really want to get involved in the election process, that's where, obviously it's the local levels that are going to have the largest impact immediately on your life. So again, my final words is please get involved and stay active.
Wonderful. Kevin, thank you again for joining us on Strictly Confidential, my friend.
Peter, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you, sir. Good evening. Good night to you. Well, we always have some wonderful folks that appear on this show, thoughtful and sincere people who are genuinely making a difference in this country, genuinely trying to do the right thing, as opposed to people like the American Family Association. And today's action alert from the American Family Association. I think Bob gets these. I can't bear to subscribe to this list. I know I should, considering what I do in their mailing list, but I just can't bear it. In any case, when one comes along that's especially horrifying, Bob forwards it along to me, and thank you, Bob. So the American Family Association most horrifying alert for today is a blast against the NEA. They are saying that as I always tell you with the American Family Association action alerts, they are always prefaced with, please help us to get this information to the hands of as many people as possible by forwarding it to your entire email list of friends and family. This is how these worm boss the surface of the earth, by spreading stuff via email and family and friends. And as I did on the other action alert, it repeats this same phrase at least three times, the same phrase in various typefaces. Please help us get the tip. In any case, today's action alert from the American Family Association, by the way, the founder and chairman is a fellow named Donald Wildman, and you can look at his picture and just, he's a pretty scary-looking guy. Looks like he's got a hidden agenda. It's regarding the NEA, the National Education Association, and they're saying NEA is beginning a massive drive to promote homosexuality in public schools. And what they're really pushing here is the voucher program. but they get into that a little bit further. They're saying, without allowing a vote, meaning the NEA, without allowing their members to vote in the matter, the executive committee of the National Education Association decided to advance aggressively the homosexual agenda. And I thought I had the homosexual agenda. Apparently the NEA's got it tonight. It's sort of like, you know, touch football. Everybody, we just pass it around. Anyway, the decision was made, according to the American Family Association, at an annual meeting in Philadelphia. First, they say the committee voted to put the weight of the NEA behind an effort to pass federal hate crimes legislation. We don't want that, do we? A measure that would greatly expand federal power, as if they can't intercept our mail and listen to our phone calls and report whether we are gay, straight, bisexual, transgendered, or whatever, to the federal government whenever we get on a plane. We covered that last night. To advance the aggressive homosexual agenda, it says that the committee voted to not only increase federal powers, but to silence the moral position. So here you have the anti-Matthew Shepard mess all rolled into one confusing sentence. They're putting the hate crimes legislation and the silencing of hate speech from the pulpit all in one. We've discussed this before. We all know it's bogus. Second, they're saying that the executive committee voted to boost the NEA's website to include all resources and devote themselves to homosexual causes. I assume what they're talking about is PFLAG, the Parents, Family, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. And the third was for NEA members to make a sexual orientation training a requirement for earning a license to teach. Here again, this is very upsetting to them, but what this has to do is training folks, training teachers. You know, so many GLBT kids drop out of school or are drummed out of school from harassment, threats, being beaten up. So this is, this sort of training is very necessary. It's because teachers don't know how to deal with this stuff. They've never had to experience it themselves. They don't have gay children. They don't know how to deal with it. That's lying to them. So, yeah, what's wrong with the NEA members training teachers regarding sexual orientation? Yeah, it's okay with Mr. Wildman as long as we keep quiet. He's saying, too, that the NEA is continuing their financial support of homosexual groups. And by the way, I looked up to see what homosexual groups that Mr. Wildman is referring to, and he is very upset that the NEA, and this is according to them, I have not confirmed this, but according to the fundamentalists, the NEA has devoted, or actually supplied, $5,000 to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, and $10,000 to the GLBT Task Force. And also they're partnering with the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network to deliver anti-bias trainings. It's a new an acronym. It's GLSEN. That one I stumbled over. So, yeah, that's what they're saying anyway. That's hard to say what the truth is, considering how twisted these. But here we get to the actual point of their letter. The point of their letter is to get you to sign up to back student vouchers, and they're saying that, this is, pretty bad. These kids, our little darlings, are going to the public schools with a homosexual agenda, and we need to get them out of those schools. So here we're back on the voucher program. So they're saying the vouchers could be given directly to the students so there'd be no violation of church and state. Click here to take the poll. And then, of course, there's a request for money. This is the standard American Family Association alert. There is never a communication without a request for money. It says, if you think our efforts are worthy, support us with a gift. Thank you for caring. And again, please forward to blah, 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 blah. So, yes, now it's the NEA. It's those communist teachers. I'll tell you what. Remember last night, Linda, what a wonderful story she had to tell about the students who contacted her years later, thanking her for what a wonderful difference they made in their lives. Well, we can't have that according to the American Family Association. And as we approach the top of the hour, I'll say to you that you're listening to Strictly Confidential. The number is 877, the number 4 head on, and I am your host, Peter Godbolt, streaming exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can grab off our website over at progressive.org. I don't usually disagree with Noam Chomsky, but I think he's wrong about Iran. In a recent piece on Alternet, Chomsky says it's unlikely that Bush is going to attack Iran. Chomsky points out how irrational it would be. He notes that the world community is opposed to such an attack, and the U.S. intelligence establishment and the military are also opposed, and Iran, while it can't defeat the U.S., can wreak havoc in Iraq, Chomsky points out. All that's true, of course, but Chomsky and other skeptics assume that Bush will act rationally. And what reason on earth do we have to believe that? Certainly not the Iraq War, which was and is the height of irrationality. And look what Bush is doing right now. He's sending Condoleezza Rice and Robert Gates to the Mideast, lavishing promises of the most advanced military equipment on Egypt and Saudi Arabia and other Persian Gulf states, all to isolate Iran even further. And Rice herself just pronounced Iran the single most important strategic challenge in the region. What's Iraq, then? A picnic? We're witnessing the prelude to war against Iran, as irrational as that may be. Irrationality has never been a showstopper for Bush and Cheney. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249. I can see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, Joe Vecchio, the working man's thinking man. Moving to 11 a.m. to noon, June 18th, right here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
And I'm John.
And we're from Fierce, a community organization for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning youth of color in New York City.
For many years, the Christian Fellowship here has been a place for our community, a space where we could all go and be ourselves.
A space where healthcare providers can come and provide free HIV testing and information to other services.
However, these services and safe space are being threatened.
To become a member of Fierce and help keep our Christopher Pierce safe for queer and trans people, contact us at 646-336-6789 or visit our website at fiercenyc.org.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And welcome back, my friends, to Hour 2 of Strictly Confidential. The telephone number is 877, the number 4, head on, and that's toll free. It's actually 877-443-2366. If you have a toll free or unlimited long distance calling plan, you can dial the studio and save us a buck by using 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. I have a very, very short piece I'm going to do. It's only a couple of paragraphs. It's only actually, and I'll tell you why it's only mentioned, is that I'm sick of the topic. Absolutely sick of the topic. It was a stupid topic to begin with, but this is the end of the restroom discussion. Oh, God, how tedious this is. And I only bring this up because the other night I said something to the effect of, I wish there were statistics as to how often people who are caught in public parks or restrooms or nature trails or whatever engaging in sex publicly, where Republicans are actually married men. And who knew it has been researched? there's no end to what you can find. Not the Republican part, but the married men part. Research by an American University anthropology professor named William Leap. And he spent more than a decade researching male sex in public places. Who knew that you could spend a decade? Oh, Lord, he must be one warped individual by now. But his conclusion, after all of his research, is that half of the men who seek sex of this kind are not gay. They are married with families. This is further backed up by an attorney, Norman Kent. He's a lawyer who specializes in defending people in cases like this, and he says that over the last 20 years, half of the men arrested on public sex charges are not gay. That, my friends, is the end of the toilet topic. Absolutely done with it. Over and out. Unless, of course, we have a guest from down there who from the Fort Lauderdale area who talks about it, and they're more than welcome to. But as for me, my darlings, I am done with it. And we have our caller, Jim, and welcome to Strictly Confidential, my friend. Welcome.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine this evening. Good evening to you, sir.
And good evening to you. So the NEA is being demonized, huh?
The NEA is the heart of the devil. It's a, you know, they're training our kids to be heathens and communists and tree huggers, you know. And they're endorsing the homosexual agenda, according to the American Family Association. Yes, indeed. And I'd like you to email that to all your friends, Jim.
I'm a past member of the NEA. And, you know, I've always found it a very good organization. And it just amazes me. Just a few things I wanted to share with you, if I may, please. On August 9th on Logo, they're going to have a Meet the Candidates thing at 9 o'clock, and it will address issues that are addressed by your program exclusively.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is that again that it's going to be on Logo, which is a part of, is it Logo part of CBS or is it part of MTV? I get that confused.
Right.
And when is the date on this?
At 2100 at 9 p.m.
I see. And who will the candidates be on the show? Is it strictly Democratic, or
probably,
how does it all work?
I'm not sure. I just got part of the PSA on that town when I was surfing through today.
Interesting. So the GLBT community will be the subject of talk exclusively?
Right.
Well, things are changing fast, aren't they, Jim? Who could have imagined that when we were crawling around in our little chiffon 90s?
Well, I don't know what to say to that, Peter. But as far as people who insist on being detractors like this American Family Association, I have a story about Tallulah. I know you're going to hate me, but I'd love to hear about it.
Oh, dear. Oh, yeah. Okay. I could use the Tallulah. I mean, today I have the electricity goes off while I've got soap in my ears. A tree falls again.
Well, router went out earlier, so I lost part of your show completely. I had to reconnect it, so I know how you feel.
I hate when that happens. It's so inexcusable. Now, the clear blue sky, it's poof, and you got to unplug it all, plug it back in.
I know.
But it's worth it for Tallulah. It's worth it.
who knows? My desktop still wasn't normal, so as we speak, I'm doing a scan. But anyway, our dear late Tallulah, and God knows that woman, her voice had more timbre than Yellowstone Park. That's for sure. So she used to drink 2 quarts of old granddad a day and smoked 150 cigarettes, God bless her.
150. Oh, Lord, before noon, probably.
But this, in a way, sort of reminds me of the American Family Association. And Tallulah used to do the Vegas circuit. She used to do the Sands Hotel out there. And so, you know, she'd come on and she would, do impressions, a few risque jokes, and without underwear on, she'd dance the black bottom and tell the audience to watch out for dandruff. And one night, and she would also recite part of Dorothy Parker's The Waltz. Now, Dorothy Parker, of course, was part of the Round Table, the Algonquin Round Table, and was a brilliant satirist, as you well know.
Yeah.
Not read anything that she wrote. It's just incredible. She worked for Vanity Fair, and her boss caught her in the bar. She was not working. And they said, well, Dorothy, why aren't you working? She said, well, someone else is using the pencil. But
good
Tallulah
line.
Apparently was a friend of Dorothy Parker's, and she was saying, and this is what she actually used as part of her act. She says, did I ever tell you, darling, that the divine Miss Parker was into horticulture? Why, she just told me the other day, you can lead a horticulture, but you sure as hell can't make a drink.
Oh, God, and Dorothy Parker, too. But those two, they rate a 25 on a scale of 10. They're both off the chart. Dorothy Parker was a wicked, wicked, but in such a fabulous way, woman. Some of the lines, there was a list of quotes I read one time from Dorothy Parker, and I used to use some of her material because it was so, and I've forgotten it all. I'll have to go back and try to find that again. She had some wonderfully nasty lines.
Oh, she did. She was absolutely a brilliant woman, and, you know, it's just incredible. I mean, both she and Tallulah certainly made their contributions to our mainstream of culture. And I thought that, you know, it's true. You can lead some horse to water, but you can't make him think. That's right, or whatever, or drink, whatever they want to do.
This is a true fact, Joe. I'm glad you keep reminding. You know, I'm a little sometimes slow on the uptake. For instance, after you mentioned Erasure, like three nights over at least three different times, finally this evening, just before airtime, I thought it was, oh, yeah, I need to find some Erasure. You know, it takes me, I have to be told at least two or three times before 6, and I've gotten this cocoon that's sort of grown around me. It takes a while for things to get through. But I'm definitely working on that for you. And the fact that you've mentioned Tallulah sufficiently for me to actually have that in my mind, now I will have to go out and find her comment. Maybe I can find some of her audio clips or Tallulah's
Tallulah?
Audio clips to you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing about Tallulah, she always said this. She said, only good girls keep diaries. We bad girls just don't have the time.
Amen to that, that brother.
So on that note, I will leave you where I found you and hope that you have a good broadcast.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And,
all right.
If I wish you lived closer, I'd get you to help me move that tree.
Well, do you have another tree fall in your house?
Yes, dear. While I was away today, I had another tree fall. This one's across the front porch. Now, this one is not as thick, and it's not actually a huge tree. The other one was huge, and it could have actually crushed the house.
Well,
do you
hear somebody's not working boots on you?
Somebody's got the gree-gree going, Adley.
Well, I'll tell you,
and this,
go down to New Orleans and go to the cemetery and find Marie Laveau's tomb and see what she has to say.
Yes, I have to sort of snake around this tree to just even get in the front door. So,
good,
you know, Doggy looks at me. I look at Doug. It landed kind of on the front porch. You know, it's always a tree, a house, something. Something's always falling on me around here.
Well, I wish you better luck in the future. I mean, you know, you might want to get some charm or something like that, but contact Marie Laveau. Maybe she can help you, you know, whatever.
That I shall
have
do.
Good night.
And thank you so much.
Good night.
Thank you for calling, Jim. Good night, Jim. That's our caller, Jim, and our undisclosed caller, Jim. I remember we're talking about the gay pride parade in Jerusalem that happened just recently. I was talking about there were some arrests from the police. You know, they had to have 7,000 police officers there. There were only 1,000 marchers in the parade. They had to have 7,000 police officers to keep the peace. They were imported from all the cities around Jerusalem just to stand on the parade route, primarily because of this extreme Orthodox sect of Jewish folks. Basically, they rioted for an entire week prior to the parade. But they are still rioting, and they're still battling with the police nightly. Even as I speak, weeks and weeks and weeks after the gay pride parade, they're setting garbage bins on fire in Orthodox areas and throwing stones at the police. It's just amazing to me. If you recall the story we did a week or so ago, the government there decided that what they're going to do is to recoup the losses and the cost of the city, they're going to withhold those funds from the Orthodox areas for improvements and things that were scheduled to be done in terms of upkeep. So they're going to already starting withholding funds from the area, and so every night this was on. And what they're protesting is because the police are still holding a 32-year-old man who was found carrying a Molotov cocktail. It was actually a homemade bomb, and he was arrested just moments before the parade started. He intended to throw it out into the parade, and they also rounded up 500 of the ultra-Orthodox things like eggs and bags of excrement they were going to throw. They had cooking oil. They were going to try to pour that on the road so people would slip and fall. In 2006, they actually canceled the parade because of threats of violence. This year, they did not. They just had 7,000 police officers come in. In 2005, several protesters stabbed and killed some of the marchers. So I've got to tell you that those Orthodox folks over there in Jerusalem, they're some pretty scary people. It makes Focus on the Family look like a Disney movie. We're talking about weeks of rioting. I just cannot believe it. Such a story. Never, ever know what's going to happen. Oh, and by the way, that nasty little rumor about Yasser Arafat is back again, that he's gay. I had heard this years ago, and I promptly forgot about it. It went in my, order will get you a phone call stack. But that rumor is back. Apparently, it's long been known in diplomatic circles that Arafat died of AIDS. A French medical report stated that the cause of his death was advanced AIDS. And, of course, that doesn't mean he was gay, but when you combine that with the decades-long rumors that have circulated about his homosexuality and the fact that he died with AIDS, you start sort of adding this stuff up. Plus all the stories from folks who surrounded him, his entourage, what have you, about the stories about him making love to his bodyguards. Bodyguards were his lovers, and there are stories about the yelling and screaming and ecstasy that came out of Yasser Arafat's bedroom. Ew! Just ew! Oh, God, that's hard to wrap your head around, like, stuff like that. In fact, Yasser did, in fact, die of AIDS. He lost about a third of his weight and was suffering from mental dysfunction before he died, and that you combine that with the French report, and yes, he did. And, of course, the pro-Israel news folks have jumped on it. Now they're not referring to him as a terrorist anymore. They're calling him a homosexual terrorist. And so, this just makes him even more despicable in my group because, the Palestinian Authority has a long, long tried and true tradition of torturing and murdering and beating up GLBT folks. So Yasser never did to lift a finger to stop that or to change that, and all the while he was screaming in ecstasy in the back bedroom with his bodyguard. And that's probably more news than you really wanted to know, ew, about Yasser Arafat. And just a way, a fellow in Nashville, Tennessee, his name is Johnny Ellis, and he's running for Metro County, actually Metro Council District 11, and it's a seat in Nashville. Now, he is not a gay man, but he is being targeted
by the anti-gay folks up there, because he's been endorsed by a local GLBT newspaper. He apparently about a year back he filled out a questionnaire from a statewide civil rights group called the Tennessee Equality Project, and he filled that all out. Well, little did he know that that was going to earn him an the endorsement of a Tennessee newspaper or circulation a community called Out and About. And so the Riot is having a wonderful time with that. They stole about 150 copies of the paper and stuffed them with flyers saying, "See, this is what those radical gay groups want to teach old hickory children." And I had to read that a couple of times. Old hickory children. What the hell is an old hickory child? What, do they whittle their children up there? Are they not flesh and blood? They just whittle them out of wood. That's the old hickory children. And anyway, this man just says he supports the right of anyone to participate in the political process. But you do not want to be endorsed by Out and About in the sea. What a wonderful world we live in. Tell you what, there are several things we could do right now, but I think what I'd like to do is run our track of interest. This is by an artist. Her name is Jamie Anderson, and she's done a wonderful track called Wedding Song. And actually, there's a number of... this particular song is Wedding Song, but it's a site that was referred to me by one of the folks in our chat room that has a number of artists who have done songs about gay marriage. And I thought this one was fabulous. It's Jamie Anderson, and her track is called Wedding Song.
Girls, I might even flirt with one or two as we step and people catch the bouquet. Maybe the maid of honor. You know, that would be pretty ironic since she's your ex-lover. Do you mind if I bring a date? Ugh, what if she catches the bouquet? Do you need any music at your wedding? You know, I just wrote this song and, oh, never mind.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
And I don't hire or fire somebody based upon their sexual orientation.
But since 9/11, George Bush has fired 1,500 members of the armed forces just because they're gay.
But I'm going to be respectful for people. I'll tolerate people.
But he refused to crack down on anti-gay hate crimes.
And I support equal rights.
But he opposes equal rights for gay couples when they need them most, when they're sick or protecting their families. There's what George Bush says and what George Bush does.
Marriage should be well respected, and it should properly be entered by two folks selected by viewers home watching TV. But I have a dream of a different sort, if I can convince the Supreme Court to do these things the Canadian way. I hope that someday you will hear me say, I want a guy just like the guy that married dear old dad. He had a face more like Will than Grace, I think his name was Thad. In my dream he is a hunk at least, or a real Episcopalian priest. Guy just like the guy that dear old Liza had.
Bada boom, bada bing, and welcome back to Strictly Confidential. 877, the number 4 head on, and that translates to 877-443-2366, toll free. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And I have one of my favorite people on the whole planet on the phone. I have Kate. Welcome to Strictly Confidential, Kate, my friend.
It's just because you have such wimpy trees and you only want my chainsaw.
I do lust for your chainsaw.
I gotta get my butt eastbound because the job's getting bigger and bigger. Maybe when brother-in-law's over there, could we just pull down a couple of trees that look like they might fall down in the future, and then when hurricanes
it's not
in?
A bad idea.
Yeah.
My sisters call this place Jumanji, by the way. If you've seen that movie, it's a movie about these kids. They find a board game there,
it's like buried in the basement or whatever, and they start playing this board game, and everything that they spin on the board actually happens in the house, like vine the walls and locusts arrive and in any case, Jumanji is sister speak for a house overgrown.
Oh, okay, I probably call it something else then, right? And I need to say before I get to babbling, about nothing actually, that my quest line goes just dead in the middle of anything. So if the line goes dead, I won't call back, but not tonight again. My buffer doesn't hold a stream and yada yada. I hate being dependent on satellites and stuff and wet telephone lines that hang up on me and it gets crazy. So if the phone goes dead like it did on Bob this afternoon, just consider you guys all hugged and there you go. So
thank you, Kay.
Kevin was wonderful. When we pile on all the stories about how bad it is around the country, which is all really, really true, but then to hear that there's some activity going on in places that are, that positive spin on what family life is like in other places where I don't live is just wonderful. It was really heartening to hear, and I wanted him to repeat where other people had won seats and were in office, that because the list was kind of long and it was so positive that I wanted to have him read it over again, or to share who had won elections around the country, so or around the state at least. So, and he's absolutely
well. That's
right.
A good point, good point. And I made note of the folks he told me about believe it was called Victory Fund.
Yeah,
I have
right.
it written down. And they would probably be the people that would intend to contact them tomorrow and see if I could book them on the show.
Yeah.
For later this week if they're available, and
yeah.
Because they would probably be able to give us on a national level what's happening at a grassroots level. It's
exactly.
kind of conflicting, but we don't know those things. And I too was very impressed with the fact that Kevin was on target and on message and unruffled by any kind of underhanded attack. It just seemed like just like a normal kind of everyday politician, but not everyday in the sense he meant what he was. I was just floored. I didn't know what I was kept trying to bolt. Aren't they throwing bottles at you, Kevin? Are your tires flat in the morning, buddy? He was like, no.
It's a good thing that Deb had gone. Her storm took her down or something, so she wasn't there tonight to talk about a room full of rich queers. And so, I mean, he didn't even have an answer to that question.
Oh, that's so funny, because I had intended to go there,
that's
but I forgot
I asked
to
that
go
question
there.
About what's
that's
the,
why you did.
What's the income like? I wondered why you were sounding so vague and ambiguous, and I thought, Jesus, Peter, see if you can get the guy to make a joke. He sounded like he wouldn't have thought Room Full of Rich Queers would have been a fun joke, but whatever.
Oh, that would have been perfect. I could have asked you, Kevin, have you campaigned in a room full of rich queers?
Rich queers? Are they putting up any money?
Yeah, are they putting out for you?
How many of them are in Hillsborough County?
Yeah. Kevin, if you are listening, we are not making fun of you.
No, not at all, Kevin. We are impressed.
We are impressed. Kate is from our chat room, Kevin, and Kate, we all get to know each other very well, and we have a long line of bizarre humor, and sometimes we follow it from the chat room right out to the open where everybody and God can see it.
Closet
and,
not spoken here. We ain't got no secrets.
No.
And before
God knows we've tried.
I tried. Get hung up on by Quest again, I wanted to share with Jim that I have a Tallulah story. You know, what's that 7 degrees separation from people?
I love it.
I had a very close friend, a teacher, professor, colleague in Tacoma, Washington, and her husband, John's father was Tallulah's daddy's chauffeur all his life. All the time he was, before he got rich and important and famous, and then all up through his whole candidacy in office when he was in political office. And I, was he a senator, I think, from Alabama? And so John's daddy was Mr. Bankhead's chauffeur, the whole, and probably valet, et cetera, bodyguard and everything for Tallulah's daddy. So I think that's, you know, we're always connected to somebody somehow, huh?
Isn't that interesting that you have...
That's why we have to be... That's why we have to respect each other and be kind, because we never know who the hell we're talking to.
Isn't that the truth?
And if it gets back to him, oh, my God, she said that?
Oh, I know. And I am so evil on this show. Some, you know, sometimes I think to myself, God, I hope nobody from, you know, I'll, you know, I've started going to this, the NCC in Tallahassee. I'm thinking, God, I hope they're not listening right now, because I just said something awful I would never say right.
Okay, but here's the deal about,
oh, God.
Here's the deal about getting old. The older you get, the less you give a shit. We can't say that word. You don't, it doesn't matter. Any stuff doesn't matter anymore. You can say any, I'm 62 and I can say whatever the hell I want to say. And if you don't...
Amen. What is that book about when I'm old, I shall wear purple, I think?
I've been wearing purple for years and years. And red and orange and, you know, all kinds of big old colors. But you just never know. We just get respect. You can demand respect. The older you get, that's what's cool about getting old. Bob and Agnes, get out of here. You don't even know what we're talking about. But you don't, and if you don't get the respect you deserve, you just slap them, you know?
No. Really, our ability to put up with it, really, it dwindles as we get older. We really just don't take too much anymore, you know?
No.
Oh, and by the way, Production Chat tells me that shit's just fine. It's in the Bible. That's a direct quote from Production Chat. So.
Oh, it's just fine in the Bible? What?
Yeah, it shit's just fine for you to say that on the air because it's in the Bible.
Oh,
so,
okay.
That's from Production. It's
spelled that way, too. I didn't know that.
Well, it's in the West Virginia version.
Well, it probably would have been in the King James version, but somebody edited it out because that dude was crazy, crazy. We don't know what was in Jimmy's Bible. Ooh, he was a mess. They dressed him up and put him out in front, though, and cleaned up his Bible, and there you go, and so whatever. So anyway.
Well, now, Kate, what is this? Apparently you are making another trip to the... to the New Orleans area, is that right? Is that something you're willing to talk about on air? I know you were.
If I get hung up on, I have something to talk about next week. I did in January. I went over to Jackson County, Mississippi, and did Katrina relief for I don't know how many weeks. I left there in April, and I just fell in love. And there's so much work to do, and I had a lot of clients. Sorry, Bob. A lot of folks who still needed help was doing some case management and some brokering resources and that sort of thing, and getting dirty a little bit. Didn't have to muck any houses. They were already ready for construction and whatnot. And I was a site supervisor for a volunteer center in Pascagoula, Jimmy Buffett's birthplace. Yes.
Yes.
Right over the line from the... Well, never mind. I get it. So I and when I came back to Arizona because of the heat over there, because I was living in a condemned gym, so I didn't have any air conditioning, and I came back home to do hospice care for my friend, which I've been doing for several years. I mean, palliative care. And so my co-caregivers could go north and get out of the heat and get a respite. So when they come back, mid-September, early October, I'll be going back to Jackson County. I've been doing a little bit of case management with my colleagues and making, you know, we just chat and what are we going to do for that and where are you going to get that and stuff. So I'll be going back and hopefully get to stay from October all the way through April when it gets a little bit too hot and muggy to come to stay there. Because over here in Arizona, I have with the hospice, with the my.
Well, October through April, that's an awfully long time to stay there. And I heard a click that might have been our losing Kate. She may have very well gone away. I'd tr-
trust. Yes. Okay. Good. Well, not good. I'm just saying good because, I mean, my end didn't crash. It was Kate's end. So that means you can still hear me, but we can't still hear Kate. So she warned us about that. See, Kate, you know, I really hold her in high esteem. This is a person who practices what she preaches. She went down to New Orleans after Katrina, helped those people, and no doubt she handled, we joke about the chainsaw, no doubt she handled one, and that's not easy work. Those people were completely devastated by that storm, and now she's going back again. This is an example, another stereotype busting example of the GLBT community, and I'm so proud of Kate, and I'm so proud of all the people that we talk to on this show. We're a fine bunch of people. Golly gee, if it weren't for what we did in bed, we'd all be saints. The Pope would be right down here talking to us. I know he would. By the way, the story we did a while back on UPS, UPS in New Jersey has gone ahead and is going to grant the benefits, the employee benefits to the UPS employees in the state of New Jersey. You see, the legislature in New Jersey set up the civil unions, same-sex civil unions, but UPS was saying they weren't going to provide benefits because it was not referred to as marriage, and the fact was they would provide benefits like health insurance and what have you to people who were married, not people who were in a civil union, which was not the intent of the court. You know, it's just another example of these half measures. In fact, there's a couple that were directly impacted by it. They make a remark further into this that the day that Walton and his partner received the news that they were going to be able to get health benefits from UPS, Walton has been with UPS, I believe, 14 years. They were talking about a home equity loan with a bank. Equity loan application. I wanted to know if they were married, and they were talking to a woman there at the desk of the bank, and they said, they explained that no, we're not married. We are in a civil union. We're partners, but there was no box to check for that. You had to be single, married, or divorced, and the woman at the bank just looked at them like she had no clue what they were talking about. They had to go through great pains to explain what a civil union was. So, America, that's your choice. You can either reprint all the forms to include a civil union, or you can let us get married like Christian folks we know you are. I can't resist telling you this. This came up in the chat room during the show. It's something that I didn't know about prior to the show, but apparently a Virginia... this is hard to even tell you. In Virginia... a Baptist church official has been charged with indecent exposure. He's a minister who propositioned police officers on top of that. He's the minister of a Baptist church in Johnson City, Tennessee. He's been charged with indecent exposure and driving under the influence. And the police officers say he even propositioned them. But, oh no, that's not all. Tommy Tester, 50, was also wearing a skirt when he was arrested. What's wrong with these people? Every week another born again going down. Oh, I'm sorry, didn't mean to use that phrase. Wearing a skirt, and he was arrested last week after he urinated in front of some children at a car wash. So he was drunk and wearing a skirt. And when the police officer arrived, he offered to perform oral sex on them. At least we're out of the toilets now, but we're having car wash sex now. So we'll have to do a whole series night after night on men who do car wash sex. Authorities identified him as the minister of a gospel Baptist church in Bristol. Gonna love this. He was an employee of a Christian radio station, WZAPAM, in Bristol. I wonder if they have a live stream. I wonder if he did a show. Boy, if they do, I wonder if we could find some archives. Wouldn't that be fun to play? And, okay, blah, 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 he's been arrested, $1,000 bail, hearing October 25th, and his wife will cry, and his congregation will be horrified, and, oh, that came up in our chat room. You just never know what you're going to find out in the chat room. We were talking about Novartis. Novartis is the drug company that makes AIDS medications, and they're suing the Indian government because they're making low-cost generics of some of the AIDS meds that Novartis sells for unbelievably high prices. Did you know that AIDS meds typically run $15 to $2,000 a month for people who are on those medications? Well, Novartis is one of the folks that are... And so what they did in order to stop, they didn't want the low-income people, third-world people, dare I say, to have access to these medications, which they refused to sell them at any reasonable cost. So they're suing the Indian government for producing these AIDS meds, suing them to stop. And, of course, the AIDS activist community is imploring Novartis to drop that lawsuit. Well, a fellow who works at Novartis Federal Credit Union was approved a five-day bereavement leave when his longtime partner's father died. I believe they'd been together for 9 years. They called him, I think, a couple of days. It was before he was scheduled to work back, to come back to work, and called him a couple of days ahead, and basically they fired him. He said he'd never been treated so disrespectfully in his life. They gave him days off when his partner's father died of lung cancer. And you see, it's part of the company's bereavement policy that when a father-in-law dies, the spouse and this is a gay couple, I don't know how to translate it into earth speak, but anyway, they had partner health care benefits through Novartis. So that being the case, they granted him 5 days to go to the funeral with his partner. But 2 days before he was to come back to work, he got a call on the cell phone saying that he was scheduled for a business trip and that he needed to come back right then. But he explained to them, no, we've already, made changes to this trip and someone else is supposed to go and it's all settled. But, boy, they got hot with him. They mocked him and they said, when will you people, when you people are allowed to marry, then you can call him father-in-law. Until then, as far as I'm concerned, he's just your friend's friend. So they fired him. He's suing. They wouldn't let him back in the office to get his belongings. And this is all Novartis, who makes billions of dollars off the gay community with their AIDS meds, and they're suing the Indian government to prevent them from selling low-cost AIDS meds to the third world. And yeah, I want to run this audio. I'll tell you a little bit about her first. Her name is Michelle, and her last name is De La Frere. She's 52. She's lived as a woman since 2004, and she lives in Scottsdale, Arizona. One of the things she talks about in this discussion is she's horrified by the community. In fact, there was a city proclamation that was supposed to honor gay residents, and it went back and forth in the law circuit there to the point that it was watered down so far that it didn't even mention the community at all. And what happened to her is a bar owner, a man named Anderson, banned her and other transgendered people from a place called Anderson's Fifth Estate Nightclub. And at that point, and I love the way this is phrased, Michelle dug in her heels. You go, girl. She filed a discrimination complaint with the Arizona Attorney General's office, and because banning transgendered people from the clubs is the best solution he could come up with. You see, what had happened was the women, according to this man who owns the club, were complaining because men in dresses were using women's restroom, and he couldn't have them using the men's restroom because the men harassed them in there and took pictures of them, this, that, and the other. And he says he's liable for the safety of his customers, and he couldn't find any place to put these people. Well, Michelle addresses this in some comments. It's about a three-minute audio segment, addresses this, and she makes a very good point. We've all seen these restrooms where it has a picture of the international symbol for a man and a woman on the door, and you walk in and you lock the door behind you, and it's just, a single stall. It's like a single restroom. When you're done, you leave, and if another gender comes in after you, it's it's all you really have to do is add one of those to a place, and those who felt uncomfortable, you could go in there. Can't be that much trouble. But he's saying he wasn't going to put up with it. And, you know, prior to her changing her gender, she'd been married for 24 years, had some children. She's been through a lot in her life before she finally went through the change and had the surgery. And she's suing for discrimination, and I think quite rightly. She says her driver's license identifies her as female, and she damn well shouldn't say damn I do. So she ought to be able to use the women's rights, and that a person's driver's license ought to establish your identity. She says, I am a woman legally, and I'm a woman medically, and I have identification to prove it. She said that he could easily make one of his four small restrooms unisex. This is interesting. It's several of her comments spliced back to back, and it runs about 3 minutes. Agnes, if you'd run the Michelle audio, please.
We are the most misunderstood community in the world. We're the ones who are persecuted, prosecuted, and executed and murdered more than any other, even though with the size of our community, more than anybody else. You can look it up. It's full statistics out there. There isn't a lot of us. The statistics now tell us there's 1 in 1,500 born, and out of those numbers, probably half will die before the age of 30. They have a suicide or something, because we can't deal with the stress of society and just, you know, the understanding what the heck we're going through. And then the other part of us will never be able to afford surgeries or even desire to have the surgery. A lot of us, just because we're transgender, doesn't mean we're going to have surgery. And a lot of us are coming out now, standing up for our rights. We think that the history is just right for this information to finally come out so that people like us aren't assaulted, aren't criticized, aren't murdered. We just had a few more we hear constantly in the country, someplace in the country getting assaulted or murdered. We think that the time is right for the information to come out so that people do understand that we're not deviants, which I keep hearing out there, or we're not pedophiles, or we're not queer, we're not this, we're not that. We're just human beings who are going through a very, very tough time of life. This is not the easiest thing in the world to do. I think society is changing. We've had a lot of issues in Phoenix, Scottsdale, Arizona as a whole. We've got a lot of good organizations out there that are trying to educate. I think that's the biggest thing, is education. Getting people to understand that there is nothing wrong with us. If you look at a lot of the businesses, the places I work and stuff, there are separate bathrooms. They have upper management bathrooms. They have single-stall bathrooms because you've got families, you've got parents. If you look at almost every, even your building here, I'm guaranteed you can either have unisex. But the issue is that people have got to get beyond their own issue of their own sexual going to bathroom. I mean, if this bathroom here was unisex, you could put a little sign in there, just lock the door, boom, someone's in there. I mean, 99% of us, unless you're in a school, do you get a ton of people at once going into a bathroom.
Right.
Most bathrooms, one person walks in and do their thing and walk out. In the perfect world, and I'm being conservative about this, I don't want to see someone who identifies male, who looks male, dresses a woman, go in a women's room. No way, fans or butts. If you have proper ID, if you look that person, if you pass as that person, you should be able to use the bathroom of that gender that you are going for. I think we'll win legally because a lot of ramifications involved. There was interstate issues. You know, they're trying to talk state alone, but there's interstate because Tom, with having Mix 96.9 in there and national acts come in, he brings stuff across the border, which is a state issue. I mean, we can push this. I don't think I would be allowed back in again. I don't think for safety I could ever go in there. And I miss that. And I've reconciled that fact. I'll probably never be able to go back into Anderson's. And I don't think Tom is going to win either. He's going to be paying out of his nose now for attorney fees. He's going to get bad PR possibly. He may lose customers. Who knows?
And there you have it. Everybody loses when that game is played, when people are excluded. Wouldn't it be such a simple thing to include everyone? And speaking of this whole masculinity and presenting gender presentation, which is really what we're talking about, we talked about that the other evening. I gave you some information from a paper called Masculinity and the War on America's Youth, Gender Public Advocacy Coalition. Ricky Wilsons will be joining us one day next week. They have committed to join us. They said they would be pleased to be on Strictly Confidential. We just haven't set the date yet. So it'll be one day next week. I'll be setting up for Ricky Wilsons, and she's with Gender Public Advocacy Coalition, and she's the person that, in fact, wrote the paper, Masculinity and the War on America's Youth, that we read from the other evening. There was quite a lot of interest in that, and I was very interested in it, too. That was an amazing take on it. The whole thing is about enforcing masculinity and femininity in society, and you better not be presenting the wrong image, depending upon your plumbing, etc. By the way, speaking of being expensive to discriminate against gay folks, it's going to cost the Britain's Ministry of Defense $6 million. They're going to be paying $3 million British pounds, but that comes to $6 million U.S. You see, our money is worth half as much as their money is, so it takes $6 million of our dollars to make $3 million of their pounds, simply because of the incompetence of Bush administration. Oh, that's a whole different subject. But anyway, $6 million in U.S. dollars. They're going to be paying that in compensation to men and women who were fired from their jobs. Okay. Now, at the time they were dismissed, there was a ban in place about GLBT folks in the military, but that ended in 2000. So the U.K. is not compensating them based on unlawful termination, but because the privacy of nearly 60 former servicemen and women was breached during those times. And if you do the math on that, you find that comes out to about $100,000 per person. Personally, I think the British military is getting off cheap. I mean, those people didn't sign up to have their private lives plastered all over the media and careers ruined. So they're compensating them for breach of privacy. So you got off cheap, Britain. Wouldn't it be a whole lot less trouble just to stop doing what you're doing to the GLBT community? I think I have time to cover this. Yes, sure I do. An inmate castrated herself with a disposable razor blade after prison officials refused to treat her for a gender identity disorder. She had actually was in prison because she was convicted of having a stolen vehicle. It's unclear as to whether she stole it or she was just in possession of it here in this particular piece of information. The doctors did not diagnose her as a disorder. She begged them to treat her with female hormones. They refused. They kept offering her male hormones over and over and over again and basically laughed at her. The doctors in the prison, which are not really doctors at all, they're hacks and alcoholics who can't make it in the real world, so they end up working in a prison. If you don't doubt that, look it up. They were saying that it was unethical for doctors to prescribe a drug that wasn't needed and could do harm. And the judge disagreed. He said there's no evidence before this court that female hormones, in fact, have harmful to male subjects who are no longer producing testosterone. And, in fact, other transgendered inmates are already receiving female hormone therapy. And the state was able to handle any special concerns if they should come up if she were given estrogen. And, of course, the Corrections Department will not comment. She was in prison in 2000 for possession of a stolen car. You see, she was in prison, but she didn't request this until September of 2003 because she had no idea that she could request. I mean, you know, these people don't get the outside news. They're not plugged into, the Internet and finding out about the GLBT sites and perfectly confidential. So she had no idea, but when she found out, she began requesting. In fact, she sent in 75 requests for female hormones, which she refused to give her. 2 months later, she tried to castrate herself, and she wasn't able to successfully do that. And then there was a second attempt 10 days later in which she did. And the court is very upset about this. They neglected to provide her with adequate psychotherapy or counseling, etc., etc. So that happened in Boise, Idaho, right here in the good old USA. You see, transgender people have it a lot rougher than us regular GLBs. The T in our rainbow gets hell on it. And I got to hand it to them. God bless each and every one of them. So in closing this evening's program, I'll remind you, strictlyconfidentialradio.com has information about the guests and the archives if you've missed a program, and the links to the main site and links to all of the music. And so here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...